Welcome to another Brit Rest special as we take a look into British wrestling's past and its future as at the beginning of August, Hammerlock Wrestling announced its return to UK wrestling scene. It was first founded in 1993, would go on to join with NWA UK in 1999 before going into hiatus in 2012. They are now back, and on October 29th, it will be the tradition lives on in Maidstone, Kent. And we are joined by new Hammerlock president, Chris Wood. Thank you for coming on the show to talk to us about Hammerlock today. How are you doing?
It's Billy Wood, but it's good. you can even start again, or we can keep that in because that's quite funny.
Let's just keep it. It's fine.
That's funny. That's good. I'm good, and I think I'm excited, and I appreciate you inviting me on to talk about where we're going to go with Hammerlock. So thank you.
Yeah, no problem. We are TNT's, the Great British Wrestling Podcast for Great British Wrestling, as featured on BullySlam.net and Jonas Podcasting Network. I am Mr. Andrew Moore, Andy Dumas. And not joined by Big Daddy Dan today because he's off on his way to TNT Extreme and their GCW show today. So I'm sure he's going to be enjoying himself thoroughly. But let's get kind of going on to it. Billy, it's not your first time in wrestling. So would you like to give some of the people that may not know you some of the background?
Yeah, sure. I think the great thing about professional wrestling and promoting is the successes you learn from. And the failures you learn from, and using that experience to try and better yourself as you kind of go on. But just to give a really, really brief wrestling side of things for me, I originally started promoting in 2008, and that was with EWW, with Stu Allen, also known as the Dominator. We promoted EWW shows. We did primarily in Kent and Sussex, and then now and then took him around the country, which was great fun for a couple of years. From there, I joined the NWA with Fight Nation, which was great fun. And we were the European affiliate for the brand at that time. And then in 2017, I purchased IPW. We won't mention the gentleman's, I'm not even going to call him a gentleman, but he's not a gentleman, that's for sure. I brought it off their previous owner and founder and ran IPW for a few years and closed IPW the end of 2019, primarily because the scene changed a hell of a lot and my personal circumstances also changed, and it was probably the right thing to do, to be fair. And The history of IPW is up for debate, how good or bad it is. I'm very proud of 2017 to throughout the 2017 and throughout 2018. I'm very, very proud of the shows we did and the risks we took. Some great, some didn't do great financially, which probably didn't help the longevity of that IPW reign. But yeah, it's not my first rodeo. But like I said right at the beginning, I think learning from your mistakes, owning them, I think is really, really important. Owning your mistakes and growing as a human and as a promoter, because we're not all going to sell out shows. We're not all going to make money. And wrestling promoters across the world will very much understand the fact that making money is tough, that probably 1% make money over the 100% of wrestling promoters around the globe, outside of the majors. So it's been a fun journey. It's had its breaks in between, but there's something about professional wrestling that always draws you back. And I'm very excited to bring Hammerlock back.
No, it's because Hammerlock, as you mentioned, it's the history is in British wrestling. It was that linchpin that kept wrestling going between the failure of WOS joint promotions and everything,
yeah,
and just almost disappearing, but Hammerlock kind of remained and helped keep wrestling relevant in the UK, you know, launching careers like Johnny Moss, Doug Williams, Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah,
and even their last show featured, you know, what could be considered the best wrestler in the world today in Will Ospreay.
Absolutely. And I think, and I want to make this clear, I am taking no credit for the history of Hammerlock Wrestling. None. But what I'm going to do is put a lot of praise and remind people of Hammerlock, remind people of what Hammerlock did, and why we can add to the tradition, why we can add to the past and heritage, why we can try to add something different to the current British scene, which, regardless of some of the tweets in last week about it being Britrest being dead, I highly disagree with. But Andre Baker, without Andre Baker, there is no Hammerlock. Without Hammerlock, there is no interest from myself in British wrestling. Hammerlock was the place that I had the fortune to train at in Kent, which was great fun, hard, testing on the body. I met some amazing people that I'm still friends with today from those Hammerlock days. Some are pros and workers now, some aren't, but it was a great learning for me, and it kind of brought me into understanding there is a British wrestling scene. And prior to that, the only thing I ever saw was All Star. And when I went to go and see Earthquake at my local theatre when All Star were in town. But Hammerlock kind of merged for me, the history and the tradition of British wrestling with a bit of a modern day twist. They were probably the first that really did those international tours, like with Jim Neidhart, Jake St. Roberts, and what have you. And kind of just modernized things and also pulled the curtain back. I think if you look back, getting into the wrestling business wasn't something you could just find and locally and suddenly there's a wrestling school there and you can do your thing. I remember reading in Power Slam about Hammerlock and going, and that was something that Andre Baker kind of pulled the curtain back on and showed, hey, look, this is how you become a pro wrestler. And without that, I kind of don't know if the scene would have grasped and caught fire like it did in the late 90s, early noughties with like the likes of FWA, if it wasn't for Andre Baker. So I think Hammerlock has so much respect and played such a big part in the ignition of independent UK wrestling.
I mean, even as you say, as they may have gone out, you didn't had the rise of IPW, had the rise of Progress, and none of these could have done so without Hammerlock actually being there in the first place. If you look at the early shows of Progress, they take a lot of the stars that came through from Hammerlock, with Jimmy Havoc, not that I mentioned, but Danny Garnell, and so many of the other big stars that helped create that scene.
Well, so many, if you look, and also Hammerlock's kind of imprint wasn't just in Kent. There are schools in Ireland and Scotland, and there was the NWA Scottish Championship. There was links in the Midlands, obviously with Magic. There was links everywhere, and I think that doesn't happen unless people believe in something. And I think that's what we're trying to grasp with Hammerlock. We're not trying to set up I didn't just go, hey, look, let's just set up Hammerlock. Or three letters to set up a wrestling promotion. The reason I've gone with Hammerlock is because I genuinely believe if we look back at their history and some of the rules and traditions of Hammerlock, it can be different to the Progresses, TNTs, Rev Pro, some of the big hitters right now, Wrestle Carnival doing great, like Gary, slowly and steady, we'll do fine with that. But that's not where we're going. I think I look at Hammerlock and go, let's pull at heartstrings. Let's give these competitive matches in weight categories. Let's add a bit of realism. Let's kind of make it less about, okay, wrestler A and wrestler B have great Twitter following, and if we announce them in a super match, we're going to get thousands of likes and retweets, and we're putting on a super indie card. No, that's not what we are. What we're trying to do with Hammerlock is kind of, if you look at what the NWA is today, and obviously the NWA is a massive part of the Hammerlock history, but the emphasis on sizes and realism is kind of where we want to go. Not, I wouldn't say we're the UK's version of NWA, because I think that's a bit rip-off. Mm. But if you look, we're having a heavyweight division. You have the junior heavyweight division. You have the women's division, which we hope over time we can have multiple weight categories in the women's division too. You have the tag team division, which is going to be open weight. And the idea is actually you're going to have a big hoss versus a big hoss. Let's have a hoss match. You know, let's have an Andy Wild versus a Jim, you know, a Jim Diehard. Mm. Doug Williams, Hammerlock, in drenched in, and we'll go through the card later, but you know, in 1993, you know, Doug, you know, went to Hammerlock and he's gone on to have an amazing career, and he's coming back to the Maidstone Leisure Centre, which is so synonymous with Hammerlock wrestling. Mm. You know, to wrestle Shah Samuels, who, regardless of the NXT run, which was, by the way, fantastic television, I thought, with Shah. Before then, Shah was the man around the UK independent scene too. Mm. So using what's best of British, but we're also opening it up and saying, hey, who's great in Europe? Who should we bring in from the US? We're not just trying to find out just what's hot. You know, I look at the TNT weekend this weekend and it's great. You know, the GCW are coming over. It's a real indie kind of cool look and feel, but we're going to do some of that. But we hope that we can draw in the families and we can slowly gravitate and build rather than wham, bam, thank you, man, which probably something I've learned in the past isn't always sustainable, as I found out probably with the Milton Keynes shows I was running with IPW. They're not overly sustainable like that. So we're going to do things a little different, try a little bit different. Not that anyone's doing anything wrong, but we feel rather than giving another UK promotion just a promotion for promotion's sake, let's give that old school vibe. Let's give that feel of the big match. What are you coming to watch? I want people to buy tickets for the matches rather than, hey, look, it's another super indie match. I want them to buy into the Hammerlock characters, and that's going to take time.
No, I mean, I like that. I think traditional British wrestling is almost coming back for a little bit of a boom. I do feel like even the fact that NXT UK had the Heritage Cup,
yeah,
I think that added so much more interest to it. I've always been a big proponent for we need to have weight classes back in wrestling.
Yeah, I agree.
I think when I said it should be like 4 for the men and 2 for the women and even do your tag teams. But yeah, so I'm really on that. And I'd just like to say that Big Daddy Dan was a big fan of the IPW 2019 period, because he used to go regularly at the Milton Keynes shows.
Amazing.
So it's a very shame that he's not here, because I'm sure he could add so much more to talk about some of that. But as you say, I love the weight class is such an important thing sometimes in wrestling, because sometimes realism does get lost.
Yeah. And look, I think wrestling is subjective, massively subjective. So when I was running IPW, we had our Milton Keynes shows, which were every first Wednesday of the month. Mm. And it would be a super, like we'd bring someone over from the States or have a super match, like whether it was Will Ospreay versus Kip Sabian or Will Ospreay versus Pete Dunne, or we would bring in Matt Riddle, or we would bring in, we brought in Nick Aldis to defend the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship. And it was in a small warehouse that could only fit 140 people. And everyone's standing. And the idea was these were like unreal cards that you would only see, like it would be ridiculous to see. And that was subjective for that audience. And we fed that onto online. So that was the way we built our subs and our subscriptions. And that's kind of how they got paid for. It wasn't just the ticketing.
No.
That was, you couldn't genuinely couldn't do it. And then we kind of took over the Lucha Forever stuff. When that went sour, we actually paid to keep that show on the road that last Tuesday night at the Frog and Bucket. And I actually, all the tickets were sold, but I actually put my hand in my pocket, paid all the talent and put that show on. At the time, I thought it was the right thing to do. Don't get me wrong. We thought, hey, maybe we can build a business up and expand IPW. So Manchester, might be a good idea. And but we kept with the traditions of those shows at Tuesday night grab shows, and it was more comedy and silly things and zombies and me acting up as the IPW owner that everyone hated because they'd won the Tuesday night graps, and Chris Brooks and CCK were the hero. Yeah, it was all silly, silly but fun, and it worked perfectly. And those guys, like Aussie Open back then, who, by the way, are absolutely killing the world right now and doing amazing, and it's, and they're great guys. It's great to see. But what they did and the creativity that they bring onto those shows, and now Lycos is doing with his new promotion,
Modern Nomad,
yeah, and that's amazing, right? And but that's the thing, wrestling is subjective, and what we probably got wrong with IPW was we were this here, this there, super shows here, and it was a bit like we were catering to the audiences, which were doing good for us, but probably losing a bit of identity in amongst that, if you know what I mean.
So that's why the real focus now is on bringing identity to the Hammerlock traditional British wrestling.
Absolutely, and it might not be of interest to many, and that's okay. But we're going to grow it slowly and build it, and it's going to take time, and we're aware of that, and we're okay with that. So, yeah, I think wrestling is subjective. We want to go weight classes because we think that will give us a little bit of extra direction in what we're doing, and allow us to keep on course, because it's very, very easy to go, fuck, that person's available, grab them, put them on, shit, who are we going to put them with, let's put them on, that'd be a great match, bang. And then you're like, oh, but actually he's a small flyer, and it's, I don't know if that would work on a supercard or it could work on a progress show, but does it fit our run on Hammerlock? No. So we're not going to do that. We'd rather say no. I actually was going to book someone for Tradition Lives On. And I asked him his weight. I said, what's your weight? And as soon as I got the response back, I had to say, unfortunately, I can't book you for the show because you don't fit the criteria for the match, which is something I've never done before, by the way. it's never been that way. So we are really trying to stick to it, and we will. And it was gutting not being able to give the booking to the lab. But if we do that for our first show, then it kind of makes a mockery of what we're trying to achieve.
Mm. Yeah, no, I can understand. I'm wondering maybe like open way exhibition matches.
Absolutely, and we may do those. But there has to be a reason for it. We're not just going to do an open weight for an open weight.
No.
It might be a case that a junior wants to step up, or a heavyweight is destroying juniors. And then there's a reason, there's a narrative for that. But anything can happen. And we want to be anything can happen. But understand that on these cards, heavyweight wrestling men's wrestling doesn't necessarily main event the show. The reason is the categories is because any one of those categories can main event a show. Whatever we feel is the main event match, whether it's a men's heavyweight, a men's junior weight, a women's match, or an open weight tag match, whatever we feel is the main event, or main event. And to be frank, there's two on the card that could have been main event, in my opinion, and that's the Doug Williams.
You got three main events.
It's quite a few. But I kind of was debating, because we're going to have more women's matches on the show. But I was debating whether Doug Williams, Shar Samuels main events, or Zaya Brookside versus Rhea O'Reilly, because I think Zaya and Rhea will be an absolute barnstormer and will be a massive showcase for women's wrestling. And now we had that in mind. But we've gone with the fact that Shar Samuels and Doug versus Doug Williams is our main event, and the show is built towards Doug versus Shar.
I was thinking Magic and Callum Newman as well, especially when you've got
the history, but we'll talk about that later, because that's a great one to talk about.
Yeah, definitely. Are you working to the 205 or the 225 weight division? Which have you gone for?
205, because otherwise we'd be lacking in heavyweights.
Yeah, our British, we're not as big as some of the big old guys over in the United States, but I agree with that. We recently put together, in fact, it was on the last bit rest round, that we did our own version of a junior heavyweight cup similar to New Japan's. I chose guys like Chris Ridgway, Mark Kaskin, Kara Noir, Martin Kirby, all still, because they would all still be junior heavyweights. But the reason he didn't choose them is he just felt that they were too big a stars to still be in the junior heavyweight. Where I was like, well, for me, junior heavyweights and heavyweights are the same. They can both main event.
And I agree, because, for example, if you look at boxing, Anthony Joshua, Tyson Fury, big heavyweight draws, right? But for example, Amir Khan was a huge draw, not a heavyweight boxer. If you look further down and look at some of the best cruiserweights, the Eubank Ben match, right? That's a main event. Mm. Yeah, the rivalry is their dad's rivalry, but they've built into it and they're having a match. They're not heavyweights. And their bout, it will do numbers on pay-per-view and will sell tickets in arenas. Ricky Hatton wasn't a heavyweight, but Ricky Hatton, as soon as Ricky Hatton was on the car, Ricky Hatton was drawing, he was the main event, right? So I agree. And Chris Ridgway, in my opinion, is a junior. And a junior heavyweight is not a junior, the junior heavyweight. And Chris is someone that I also believe is one of the best wrestlers unsigned in the world right now. And someone that I've put a lot of time and effort into too over my years promoting. So yeah, I don't think we can. I think there's times junior heavyweights can step up to heavyweight. If you've seen boxing, like Tony Bellew was a cruiserweight and stepped up to heavyweight and to face David Haye. You know, I think that can happen, and I think you can work on that. But the limit for us is junior heavyweight is the limit, and then to be a heavyweight, you've got to be close to the limit, and then some. If you're above the 205, you're heavyweight naturally. But if you want to make the step up, you can make the step up, but you're going to have a weight disadvantage.
Yeah, no, that's fully understandable. And as I say, put an emphasis on women's wrestling in the UK, which is, again, a big talking point right now. Pro Wrestling Leagues, they set it out, the sort of like the one-hour challenge, or at least three quarters of your show, a quarter of your show, should heavily focus on women's.
Well, our next show, just so you know, our next show is going to be 8 matches, and 2 of those will be women's matches. So what we're trying to do is 2 from each division. In this show coming, there's only 1 tag match, so there'll be 3 junior matches. So the junior will have a bit more of a showcase on Tradition Lives On. But the plan is to try and do, if we're going to do 6, you might see 2, you might see 1 from each and 2 showcase matches. If we're going to do 8 matches, the idea is to try and do 2 from each division.
There you go, that's it. Give so it. You could keep everything.
We're not going to be a 3-4 hour show. We're going to be a 2 hour and a bit, because I actually like to get home. People
Me too.
I'm not one, and I'm sure a lot will test this. When a show finishes, as long as everyone's okay and everyone's been looked after and everyone, there's no problems, I like to go home. I'm not one to socialise, not because I don't like to socialise, but I wrestling for me, or any sort of thing, is a bit of a business for me, and I don't like to blur the line. So I'm not one who goes to the bar with a talent, or that's just not me.
No, I like that as well. That's good. Now, should we start talking about the upcoming? You've been posting the history recently a lot of it, including sort of like the old belts of the NWA. Yeah. Are they going to be the belts, or have you got new belt designs?
I'm in 2 minds at the moment. So we're not introducing any belts yet.
Yeah.
However, there will be exclusive. There will be a UK heavyweight. There will be a UK junior heavyweight. There will be a women's, and there will be a tag. So there will be championships in all 4 divisions. The lineage of the heavy and the junior will continue over. And we'll be starting afresh with a couple others. I'm kind of inclined to go back to the old designs, or even maybe use one of the old belts. So it does have the NWA logo on, but it was a hammer. They were Hammerlock belts. So we may go back to some of those. But yeah, tradition, it's called Tradition Lives On, and we're trying to go into tradition. So we kind of want to keep that traditional vibe still there. So we don't want to overly modernize it just for the sake of modernize it, because hey, we're new, we're fresh, we're going to be this da 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 da. We're plying into the history, as you can see by some of the footage we've put up. And at the moment, I'm obtaining usage of as much old footage as possible at the moment. So kind of, I want to create a timeline for everyone's sake, people can see what happened and why it happened. And not necessarily to monetize, just more of a, hey, look, have a look. This is what we were. This is what we were then. This is what we were in the 90s. This is what we were in the noughties. This is what we were post Andre afterwards, and this is what we are now. And I think that's really important to me as well. And it's not going to be a financial thing, because I think it's, we're trying to educate. There's lots of people that go, oh, Hammerlock, I trained at Hammerlock, I want to be on the show. The amount of workers that want to wrestle on these shows because they have an affinity to Hammerlock has been fantastic. And it's been quite funny seeing a lot of people from Kent find the Facebook page and tell me that they used to go to shows, which is quite nice. We want to build in that kind of affinity with the brand, and it's going to take time. And we'll do that by hopefully showing as much. I've got a match with just a clip of Fergal, Finn Balor, Fergal Devitt, and a few others in a tag match, actually. Paul Tracy, who was an NWA Hammerlock trainer, who is the man in Ireland when it comes to that sort of stuff. Him and Fergal in the tag match, which is on grainiest footage. But I want people to see what they can see and get a feel. And I want people to know that the show, when you turn up to it, yeah, we're going to look, it's going to look decent, but we kind of want that old school feel a little bit. We want it to feel not so big screens and like we want it to feel old school. We want you to step into a bit of a Brit rest time warp when you come to a Hammerlock show. And that's why I think bringing the old belts or versions of them back is probably the smartest thing to do. And that's probably what we will do, but I haven't decided yet, but that's more than likely.
Now, one of your matches features the first ever holder of the NWA UK junior heavyweight title in Magic, going against somebody who has been called one of the true future of Brit Rest right now, and Callum Newman. How excited are you for this matchup in particular?
Amazing. So when I decided, so just to give you a quick story on why Hammerlock, I actually reached out to Andre's family and got the blessing of the family to do this. And it was so important to me that it tied in, and there's a few other tie-ins coming up with prior Hammerlock talent. It was very important to me that lots of people might not know who Magic is. And that's not to be disrespectful to Magic at all, because he's from a different era of Brit wrestling. But Magic was really, really, really fucking important to those early days. He was such a big part of those shows, the Transatlantic Challenge stuff. So and huge to the Hammerlock history. And I wanted him involved, but I didn't know if he was going to be in the match. I just wanted him involved in some way in the Hammerlock show.
Mm.
Long story short, after speaking with him, he was like, yeah, I'd love to work on a show. I was like, okay, great. I was like, well, it needs to be something exciting. It can't just be Magic versus someone. And I looked at it and I thought, well, first ever champion. We're going to crown a junior champion at some point. Callum Newman surely would be in the running. Callum's unreal. He is grown as a performer monthly. I've had Callum on shows prior and he's always performed incredibly well and just owns the crowd. And I thought, Magic versus someone who genuinely could be the future of the Hammerlock Junior Division. Could it be a passing of the torch moment? Could it actually be a return of Magic moment? Could it be Magic's could Magic absolutely smash it? People go, hold on a minute, is he got another run in him? You know, it's not a foregone conclusion in my mind. And I think that's the beauty of that, the fact that Magic can touch on the history and the feeling and what Hamlock means to him. And Callum Newman recently in a tweet kind of made it clear he couldn't give a flying about the being the gatekeeper in the history. So whilst it's a clash of juniors from different eras, I think it's a clash of tradition versus new school. I think it's a... Yeah, Magic, you would expect Magic is going to, you know, the hatred heal, the, you know, the arrogance of Magic back in the past. But actually, it's Callum who's shown a bit of disrespect to the Hamlock history here.
Yeah.
And I think that leads to what you probably said, as a potential another main event. And that's exciting. And I think we're going to see something that has never been seen before. And we're going to see something that really, for me, will tell everyone in that room what Hamlock wrestling means.
There's a real blending of both youth and veteran talent actually on this card. You got guys like RJ Singh, Amir Jordan, as you mentioned, Doug Williams on the show. It's just a young Brady Phillips, who is insanely talented. It's great to see him again. See, he was one I was like, is he really only 205? Because he looks big.
Exactly. Yeah, just fits. He's a big guy, but he is big but cut. He'd be just right for the division.
Now, you've got quite a lot of the returning NXT UK talent as well on this scene. How do you feel like that ending of NXT UK is going to boost the scene a little bit more? There's going to be more talent coming back. There's going to be fresh matches to be had between, you know.
People got to realise it was a while when a lot of these guys left. And obviously, a big knock on IPW actually was the fact that when the NXT UK mass signing happened, or when talent wasn't allowed to work in the indies anymore, it hugely affected my shows. Like, there was no denying that. But it wasn't just NXT UK.
No.
Sabian got signed to AEW at the time, and someone else did, who's aforementioned now. And it was one of those things, Andy, that it was one of those things you think, right, okay, what are we going to do to keep this up? And I overstretched myself and the company to try and keep up, to be honest. And I think that was a big learning curve for me. Mm-hmm. When NXT UK come to an end, I was really, really disappointed for the talent, because they all were, people can say what they want, but they've all worked so hard on that and got better. And they're going to give so much back to the scene now. The truth is, though, lots of talent have risen and stepped into those spots. Now, there was a tweet a couple of days ago talking about, well, progress has fallen off a cliff, that tweet. And lots jumped to defend it and defend and say, actually, no, the British wrestling scene is booming and these guys show some respect to the guys that stepped up. But that's just an opinion, and people are allowed their opinions. And I think we've got to understand that the houses haven't been great everywhere since. They haven't, especially after COVID. It's been tough. And we have to look at some of these talents coming back in, which will not just supplement cards. Some of them will head into main event situations, like Shah for us, because he's a draw. He's a draw now. And some NXT UK talent may find it even hard to get bookings because their expectations of what they want won't match what the promoters can pay. So I think it's an exciting time because there's been some great talent like Danny Black, a lot of juniors actually, like Danny Black, Joe Lando, but also the likes of Will Cruz, who I can't wait to find a date to get him on one of our shows, and some of the talent from up north that's absolutely killing it. They've risen their game too. So I think it's going to be an interesting time. I think the scene will have lots of options. But also, the scene lost a lot of options for the right reasons when Speaking Out came around. And it's taken time to replenish. And the NXT UK cuts will help replenish the scene. And I think it will lead to a vibrant time. But let's not get carried away. Everyone needs to take their time. I think it's not, it's definitely still not easy. And we understand that it's a slow build for us, and we're not like Progress or Rev Pro, who can go and do your Rev Pro can go to York Hall, and Progress who are having good shows and bad shows, good draws and bad draws. Like, let's not sugarcoat it. They seem to be able to power on, and full credit to their ownership group that can do that. We need to take it step by step. We need to not get too ahead of ourselves. We need to go show by show. Obviously not have a date ready for the next show after the show, but we'll go time by time and slowly. And lots of that WWE NXT UK former talent probably will be on our shows. Mm. Not all of them, because we can't financially make that happen. And also, we want to elevate some new talent. There's an initiative that I want to announce over the next week or two, where we will look to give all the local schools. Hamlock was known as a breeding ground of talent. We've not got a school, and there's no plans for a new school. But we want to pull on events where we can go, hey, look, who is the best talent coming out of all these schools across the UK? From England, Wales, Scotland, Ireland. Tell me, who's the best? Who are the trainers? The trainers, tell me who's ready to kind of have an opportunity to wrestle on another show. And we will put on shows that will highlight Generation Next and push those too, and do that in Kent, and try to give some of these talents from up north and in Wales the opportunity to come over and wrestle on a different show.
Yeah, because on your first show already, you've got Rhea O'Reilly obviously coming in from Ireland, and big old Andy Wilde coming down from up north. Really looking forward to him versus henchman Jim Diehard. That's going to be a clash of titans, if you like.
Yeah, for sure. You know, that's a hoss match. That is a hoss match. And Jim Diehard, for me, has the potential to main event everywhere. In my opinion. And he's one that Hamlock, with his history in Hamlock, he's one to definitely watch as Hamlock continues, because Jim feels like he's got something to prove, and will back that. And Andy Wilde is someone, once again, Hamlock history, and it's two guys with Hamlock histories, Hamlock heavyweights, you know, the two Hamlock heavyweights going at it. I think that's going to be a great match. And it's also one that's, it's not been overdone. It's not been done everywhere. You've not seen it everywhere. It feels fresh. And I'm hoping we're giving fresh bouts to the audience down south.
And of course, while he's down there, I'm sure you'll be in his ear about who's coming up in his school right now up in Fife.
Absolutely. And we've already had chats about that. And I think we want to bring Scottish talent down. And we'll be looking to do that going forward for sure.
So, speaking of young talent, who's out there that's really, really impressed you? Not to say that you're going to book him yet, but who out there that you've seen on the Twitter sphere or in the Brit Rest scene that you're going, well, I like the look of him?
Oh, no. Do you know, there's a few. I really like Ian Skinner. Really like Ian Skinner. And I think there's a lot to do with Ian Skinner. Levi Murr. Big, strong guy. You know, I think he's going to be an exciting guy, and we're without a doubt keeping tabs on him. I really like Harley Hudson as well. I think she's a great talent. I also, and this is a bit biased by me, but because I actually, the Catch 22 school was the birth of my IPW Academy shutting down. KM Lane, young talent in Kent. I think he's going to be really, really exciting. And Jake Kent, I think he calls himself Jake Kent now. I think he's going to be an exciting talent. I really like Mark True. I think Mark True is an exciting talent too. And the truth is, there's so many. And for someone like me, who I have been around for a long time, and seeing people go on, like for me, Kip Sabian, from when we started working with Kip, and to see him go to AEW and be a big part of that. I won't go into why, but being a big part of that, of him kind of joining AEW, that's the journey for me. Now, we didn't train Kip Sabian. He, you know, all credit in the world goes to the Knights there, but I feel that we helped Kip find Kip, and to see him go from where he was to what he's doing now, I'm so proud of him. So proud. And that's what I'm hoping we can do with Hamlock, is take some young talent. You know, we're going to be announcing a four-way junior match, and there's a young talent on there that people will be like, oh, wow, didn't expect him to get the booking. But we wanted to do it like that because we feel that he could... let's give him an opportunity. Let's see how he gets on. Mm. And there'd be more of that within Hamlock. And there'd be people that are hot, not so hot, that we try to make... try to give a little bit of, you know, a little bit of fire to, and you know, get it cooking a bit, and see what we can do with them. And I think that's the bit that excites me. It's not just bringing in, because I could have gone, well, I'm going to book him from America, I slap him on a poster, and boom, we're going to sell all of our VIP meet and greets, going to sell out in a day. Because we did it. I did it with IPW. We did it with the Austin Aries exclusive, or, you know, having British Strong Style on the anniversary, and booking Jeff Jarrett, you know, and Hurricane Helms, and we did all that. And I'm not saying we won't bring people in, because I think historically with Hamlock they did that. So there's we could, if the right scenario hits, we could do that. But actually, I want to go, yes, this is the best of British wrestling, but here's a couple little acorns that you don't know yet. And we're going to show you a little bit about them, and you might like them, and or you might not. But let's give it a go.
Yeah, you know, Will Ospreay was once a skinny little kid who walked in and suddenly took over the place, and now has taken over the world.
Yeah, look, Will. I think I first personally booked Will in 2015. Right, so 7 years ago, and Will's always as he's kind of grown as a performer and notoriety, he's always looked after me, to be fair, and I thank him for that. But to see him grow as a talent and become, arguably in my opinion, probably one of the best professional wrestlers in the world, whether you like him or not, I think that's up for debate. People either love him or hate him, and they have their reasons for that. But for me, he has really worked on his craft and become one of the best, and you have to applaud that. And but there's so many. Look at Pete Dunne, you know, look at his ascension, you know, wherever you like the Butch name or what. Look at Pete, look at that journey, right? And I think there's so many more we can talk about. There's so many more, and there'd be so many more. And that's what I'm excited about with Hamlock, is can we play a part? We're not trying to be the be all and end all, but can we play a part?
Yeah.
And I'm hoping we can.
So we've talked a little bit of present and future there. Let's look at one of our favourite questions, which is the Mount Rushdown of British wrestling. But I think there has to be at least one Hamlock guy who should be in the Hamlock Hall of Fame.
Doug Williams?
So quick off the bat, but 100% understandable. But yeah, three more that you felt that really influenced the British wrestling scene as a whole.
For me, it's probably a bit of an interesting one, because I've got different people for different reasons, right? So Doug Williams definitely, I think, has held the mantle of British wrestling through the good, bad and the ugly. And I think he should be on that Mount Rushmore without a doubt. On top of that, I'm going to put a name on there that people probably wouldn't expect me to put on, but I'm going to put them on there because I think their consistency actually should have them on there. And that's Andy Quilden. And I'm going to put Andy Quilden on there because Andy used to be a referee. He promoted IPW shows before breaking part with that owner, and then setting up Rev Pro. And Rev Pro have been, in my opinion, the most consistent British wrestling promotions in the last 30 years, without doubt. And that's why Andy, whether he cares that I'll put him on the Mount Rushdown of British professional wrestling, but I would put him on there. others, another name who I think changed the game, and a bit more of a modern name to this, but I think he changed the game and was a massive part of changing British indie wrestling. That's Mark Andrews. I think he doesn't get the credit he deserves, and that's why he would be on there for me. And last but not least, I have to put Andre Baker on there, because without Andre, there'd be no Hammerlock. Without Andre, there wouldn't be my affinity and love for the NWA, which leads me back to Hammerlock. And I wouldn't be promoting without Andre Baker, because Hammerlock Wrestling has, what people don't realize, it's been such a big part of why I done what I done, and why I keep getting drawn back to it, and why I picked the Maidstone Leisure Centre, because every time I ran a show there, all we talked about, me and Dean Ayers and whoever we booked who was part of Hammerlock throughout the craze, we talked about the Maidstone Leisure Centre, because it was synonymous with the brand. And I'm so happy, whether we have 100 people in there or 400 people in there, I'm so happy that we are going to do the first show there, no matter what the draw, because it needed to be there. And that's why Andre Baker has to be on that. So two promoters, a junior heavyweight, and probably the greatest ever British wrestler, in my opinion, in Doug Williams.
I love that list. Now, we've talked about a couple of the matches, but let's talk about the women's match on the card. Zaya Brookside and Rhea O'Reilly. Again, not quite young, but she still is quite an emerging, upcoming talent in Zaya Brookside, against a very experienced Rhea O'Reilly. It's another great mixture.
Yeah, Zaya got into business incredibly young. Very young. She was like, 14, 15 when she really started. So she was young. When she was the IPW Women's Champion, she was young as well. She was, and she still is. She's still, in her 20s, early 20s. And for me, I actually think the reason why Zaya went to the WWE wasn't because her dad. It was because she actually had the biggest upside, I think, on the British women's wrestling scene, in my opinion, because she appealed to all different fan bases. She was exciting in the ring. She knew how to get the crowd going. She could wrestle an indie terrific style match, but also she could do an all-star match. She went off to Japan and did incredibly well in Japan for Stardom. And the upside in her as a talent is huge. And I think being released from the WWE at her age, it's not the end of the world, because there's so many other options for her, and going back to WWE one day. And I think it's now her time to shine and show people what they're missing. And I'm so happy to be able to work with her again to try and ignite and help push that. And that's what we'll do. And with Rhea O'Reilly, she's one of the best in Britain. So what a match. What a match. And it's been tough for me to find another women's match that I think absolutely matches that for Hammerlock. And probably that's why we've not announced one yet, which we will be coming around to soon. So I think it highlights where we want to be and the levels we want to be of women's wrestling. We make no bones about it. I get Dan Reed's point. Women should be featured heavily or more prominently than they are in many promotions. And I'm not against that at all. But there'll be shows where we might have a lot more women's matches, and there might be shows where we don't, depending on the talent available and what works for the show. But I think over a period of 12 months, I think we will showcase and show that we are committed to try to elevate the next generation of women's wrestling in Britain.
And then we mentioned Brady Phillips earlier. He's going to be going up against another young man who's, again, even though he's been released, it's not the end of the world for him. He's still so young, in Amir Jordan.
Absolutely. Amir, it gets the crowd going, exciting, can go in the between the ropes. He can absolutely go. Brady's someone I've kept my eye on. I think it's a great mesh of styles, and I think that could be the match of the night. That could be the show stealer.
Absolutely. Tag team action, the 8-7, Roy Johnson and Alexander Roth going to be taking on the Rebellion, Jack Torreno and Taylor Essex, who are one of the most underrated tag teams in the UK, both teams, in fact.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think the exciting part of that is the 8-7 have great charisma and chemistry together. And Rebellion, I think, have grown as a tag team. So, yeah, really excited about that match. Really excited. And I think that will set the standards again of tag team wrestling for Hamlock.
And then you've got RJ Singh on the card. Has his match been announced?
No. That's coming. So keep your eyes peeled for that.
And then, of course, your main event will be Doug Williams, Shaw Samuels. Shaw, when he came to NXT, I was like, oh, I'm not sure. But he upped his game to a whole new level again and turned into be one of the best, one of my favourite reasons to tune into NXT UK was to see Shaw Samuels.
Look, Shaw's incredible. I'm telling you something. I'm telling anyone who buys a ticket, for £15, that match alone is worth it. Nothing more needs to be said. It's £15 to watch Shaw Samuels versus Doug Williams. What more could you ask for?
Not too much more, especially when, as you say, you've got the entire rest of the card and one more match to come. But Callum Newman versus Magic, Andy Wilde versus Jim Diehard, Rio O'Reilly versus Iya Brookside, the 8-7 versus the Rebellion, Doug Williams versus Shaw Samuels. The card already looks stacked. It's going to be a fantastic show. I love the idea of tradition coming back to the UK British wrestling scene.
Thank you.
Is there anything else you would love to say?
No, that's it. Just buy a ticket and then we'll see you at the show.
Awesome. So with that said, take the advice of Billy Wood, and what we normally do is say, don't feed the trolls. I've been drawn into a couple of arguments recently, but remember, don't feed those trolls.
Exactly that. Well, thank you for having me, and we'll speak soon.
Thank you.